only Pat Beverly who debates like he plays, and that is a compliment.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth.
Now, you know what responsibility comes with sitting in that seat, right, Bev?
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah, the first responsibility is to sit up and talk loud.
There we go. How about that? I don't mind that. I don't mind that stipulation. I mean, you got to know what you're talking about. You got to have all your facts in order. But more importantly, you do have to sit up, talk loud, and next time, I need a blazer. You know, you got a fly wardrobe. I need you to slow that because, as you know, I always show the fly wardrobe.
Okay, say less.
Say less.
I love it. I'm just trying to get a sponsor by Dior. That's all.
All right, gentlemen. Want to talk about that game last night?
Let's do it. Yes.
So it was a tale of two halves. So Boston came into that game without Al Horford or Marcus Smart, but led most of the first. Then second half, the heat was turned up behind a huge third quarter from Jimmy Butler to take game one in a 118-107 victory. Butler put up 41-9-5. He's at the mic.
More than anything, it just shows us what we're capable of whenever we worry about getting stops, getting into the open floor, getting to the free throw line, all of those good things. It just reminds me that we can do it. I see it on this piece of paper. I lived it, so I expect us to be able to do that every quarter from here on out.
Got out tough, out physical. They looked like they came out in the second half, you know, and wanted to up their physicality and aggression on both ends, and they did that.
All right, Pat, what do you think? Did Jimmy Butler prove he's the best player in this series?
A two-way player who does it on both ends. Underrated leader, yes. I know it's real early. I know it's only been one game. Obviously, Boston's going to make adjustments. But after seeing last series, after seeing this game, man, I feel like he takes his game to another level, you know, the bigger the lights is. So I have to go with Jimmy for sure.
Over Tatum.
Over anybody that's in that series right now. Over game, just from game one. I have to.
Where are you, Doggy?
I think you got to listen, Butler's been phenomenal. I still think you probably got to take Tatum. And look at me, I didn't even want Tatum in the top 10 here about a month ago. But the 46 points against Milwaukee in game six, very good against Durant. I know a bad third quarter, and he's got a little better supporting cast. It's close. I would take Tatum. It's close.
Yeah, but I just feel like without Marcus Smart, I think it's more pressure on him for him to – now he has to bring up the ball. You know, now he still has to defend Jimmy Butler. He still has to play make. He still has to score. He still has to rebound. Rebounding is a very big key in this series. So with all of that, with the injuries, I don't think you see the best version of Jason Tatum, all because he's stretched out. And he has to do a lot more without those guys.
Yeah, and Smart and Horford are day-to-day. Stephen A., where are you on this?
Well, that's why I roll with Doggy, really, because of what Bev just explained. The fact of the matter is Jason Tatum had to do a bit more because Marcus Smart and Al Horford was out. So you had a rebounder and a steady veteran front court body that was out, and you had the reigning defensive player of the year that was a backcourt mate that was out as well. So when you look at it from that perspective and you're going up against a tough team like the Miami Heat, led by a rough rider, ain't no question about that, in Jimmy Butler, that's what he brings to the table. You got to have all your ducks in order. You got to have everything available to you. And that's not what Jason Tatum had. So when you look at what Jimmy Butler did in game one, I would say to you, first of all, let's understand something. They punked the Boston Celtics in the third quarter. I mean, when you come out there, you go on a 22-2 run. When you force Jason Tatum into six turnovers and just two shot attempts in the quarter, when you outscore them by 25 in the quarter from open and tap of the third quarter, and that's really when the game was won, then obviously on this particular day, there's nothing to sneeze at in regards to Jimmy Butler. He set the tone in every way, not just scoring, but defensively. I mean, he forced four turnovers himself. And so when you look at it from that perspective, I understand how anybody would think that. But to me, let's also put things in perspective by understanding Marcus Smart being out was a major, major loss. I mean, if you looked at him on the sidelines and the way he was getting after everybody, because it wasn't because you were playing bad or because you were struggling. It was because Miami's physicality overwhelmed you. And that's not something that is supposed to happen. And Bev, you can appreciate this practically better than anybody in the NBA. It's one thing to lose a basketball game. It's another thing entirely to have your heart snatched out of your chest. And imagine that you are on the bench and you can't play and you don't see your team losing because jump shots are falling and stuff like that. You see them losing because another team physically outwilled your team and looked like they had their hearts snatched out of their chest over a 12-minute period. It would drive you nuts just the way that it drove Marcus Smart nuts. And I think that you'll see a different Boston Celtics team once he gets back out on the floor. Because win or lose, what you're not going to do is punk them with Marcus Smart on the basketball court.
So when you, I like the analogy you use, rip heart out chest. I just don't think they if Boston is not healthy and Marcus Smart and Al Horford is not playing, I don't see Boston beating Miami consistently over and over and over and over again. I just don't see it. The healthiest team always wins. Everyone in the league knows that. What players, analysts, right. You know, that doesn't change. The healthiest team always wins. And at the end of the game, just like we talked about against in the Suns series, you see right. who they was attacking. You see who they wanted that mismatch against. They got it. They couldn't do nothing about it. You can't change your personnel overnight. The Miami guards who started the game, they came out kind of flat. They picked it up the second half. I like Miami, man. Without a healthy Boston, I really like Miami.
Bev, let me ask you this question, though. And also, it's just a question. Not even a debate. It's just a question. It's one thing for Marcus Smart and Al Horford to be out. It's another thing that entirely to find out at the 11th hour that they're out.
True.
We were wondering whether Marcus Smart was going to play, guys, Doggy, Bev, and then we found out he wasn't going to play. Al Horford, all of a sudden, we all walked into the arena. I didn't know that Al Horford wasn't playing until we walked into the arena. And then we found out about safety protocols. And so if you're the Boston Celtics, my question to you, Bev, would be this. To lose two starters, particularly of that magnitude, at the last minute, how much does that factor in to the kind of pass, per se, that Boston could have because of what happened last night?
I think it takes away from the mental psyche, obviously. The team does, when Marcus Smart plays, the team does have a makeup of Marcus Smart, whatever that is, if that's the pit bull, if that's the dog, but whatever his persona is and his makeup is, the team takes up that makeup when he plays. When he doesn't play, the team takes up the makeup of Jalen Brown as a Jason Tatum. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's very different at that point. And for me to go into the game and I find out D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns not playing, it'll mess up my psyche too, mm-hmm. you know. And on the other end, if I'm playing against, I don't know, the Memphis Grizzlies or something, and Ja Morant isn't playing or Jackson isn't playing, I feel even more confident now. You know, so I think you can look at the tails both ways.
All right, I'll say two things.
Yeah.
First off, Lowry's not playing for Miami, too, so they have an injury they have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Number two, Boston was up 13 in the first half, mm-hmm. and they were up 62-54 at the half. Now, I don't buy the idea that they won the three quarters, but let's face it, they outscored them in the first, second, and the fourth. Mm-hmm. I can't, 39-14 is 39-14, but they've earned the respect with game six. I'm not trying to negate Smart and Horford, but Pritchard scored 18 points and shot the ball pretty well. I know they put him in pick and roll, and he couldn't guard anybody.
He couldn't guard anybody.
I understand that.
No, he couldn't guard anybody.
I get it, but he did score 18 points.
That don't matter if you lose.
I understand. He made, you know,
He's a negative one.
I get it. But the idea here that now we're going to say that the Celtics can't beat the Heat because these two, first off, they're going to play. Oh, Smart's going to play sooner or later. Who knows on Horford?
They're, by the way, Doggy, they're speculating.
They're speculating that Horford might be out the first three games.
They're speculating that he might be out the first three games of the series. It's possible because we don't know how serious the whole COVID thing is
but
with
that's
him.
Horford.
We don't know.
Yeah,
but Smart's
coming back. But if Smart didn't play
game two, would you still pick the Celtics?
No, I think the Celtics are going to win. I think the Celtics will win this series. I agree with what Pat Bev said. I'm very alarmed by that third quarter.
Yeah.
Butler played great. I don't like the pick and roll with Pritchard. I understand all that. But I have too much respect for what the Celtics have done in this postseason. Mm-hmm. They beat mm-hmm. I know Middleton was out, but game six in Milwaukee, they won.
Yeah.
It's game one. They just finished Sunday night. Mm-hmm. I'll give them a little pass. let me see this again before I think that they can't
Stephen A., are you still staying with Boston now? Now that you just saw game one?
I was getting ready to go there because I wanted Doggy and Bev to hear what I'm about to say, Molly.
Okay.
I have the Boston Celtics in seven.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming everybody playing. I'm not picking the Boston Celtics to win this series without Marcus Smart. I'm not picking the Boston Celtics to win this series without Al Horford. Because even though Robert Williams looked good last night, you know, in terms of his activity, particularly in the first half when he hit all five of his shots, had 12 points, two block shots, the fact of the matter is you still wonder about his health situation with him being a bit hobbled, with Al Horford being out. Definitely, the most important piece to me is Marcus Smart's availability. If Marcus Smart is available, the Miami Heat are going to the finals. He's that important to the Boston Celtics. To that, you say what, Bev?
I say, I think we're looking at it from, we need to look at it from a basketball standpoint. You know,
okay.
Robert Williams is a five man who rolls, slip screens, rolls. Miami Heat, they switching all that. Now, we got Al Horford, who's the best at screening and popping, which means it's a five-man guarding another five-man on a perimeter, which means your next low man is a guy probably my height, 6'1", 6'2". Now, you take all that out the game, who's stopping who from getting to the paint? That's what I'm saying. Ooh. And you have your defensive player of the year out. I understand they weathered the storm against Milwaukee. I respect that. I mean, I love the grittiness of the team, hell of a coach. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about this is the number one team, and I know we don't talk about them enough, We show the top four teams left. We only show three. We leave the Heat out. What Jimmy Butler is doing consecutively, night after night after night, imposing his will. The game is, it seems like he's controlling the game. He's never rushed. He's always at his pace. No one can guard him, as we can see. He's getting to the free throw anytime he wants. And in the fourth quarter, Pritchard, if he's guarding, they won't be successful. I mean, they just won't. It's just hard.
All right. We got to get in a break. Pat Bev, you have been tremendous these past 3 days on television.
I appreciate that. Thank
you. I mean, I know you still have a lot more to do on the court, but seriously, you've been incredible.
I appreciate
really.
That.
And it's been so much fun having you, and I hope you'll be back soon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Ooh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You're just being I told him he can't Mom, call me ma'am. It makes me feel old, but it's all good. Mom raised you right. It's all good.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Lethal Weapon. Who wrote this? Steph, Clay, and Jordan Poole, Stephen A.'s terrible nickname, and not to mention Draymond taking on Luka legend himself. The third 2018 draft is showing why that was probably too late. Luka's Game 7 performance versus Phoenix broke a tie with the Warriors legend and Hall of Famer Rick Barry for the most 30 games age 23 or younger. Doncic was the second best scorer versus the Warriors in the regular season. So Chris Mad Dog Russo, I ask you this, sir. Who has the higher ceiling? Is it Steph Curry or Luka Doncic?
Well, you know, Curry has already established himself as, you know, one of the all-timers.
Yep.
He's won his three championships. Mm-hmm. He gets another one without Durant. That would raise it even more. But I think we all know where Curry is. Again, I said in the first hour of the show, Doncic, he reminds me, I know you don't like it. I'm an old-timer. He doesn't know what he's talking. He reminds me a lot of Larry Bird. There is some, just his personality. There are some similarities. He's arrogant. He loves to beat you. He laughs at his opponent, and he laughs, and then he goes out there and he beats his opponent. Mm-hmm. He's averaged 40 a game in the elimination games. He could have scored 70 against backcourt last Sunday night in game 7. He had 27 at the half, 57-27 before Kidd called Mer Suns, who were a disaster in that seventh game. Here with this Golden State series. He's playing with house money. The Mavericks do not have the supporting cast that Warriors do. I like Golden State in five games. I think they'll probably win this series in five games. I know Stevie said maybe seven. I think five. But Doncic, specifically, as a basketball player, the fact that he can shoot threes, and I know his percentage, he makes big ones, and his distance is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Who can forget the three he made to beat the Clippers 2 years ago in the bubble? He's great, He's a great passer. He gets there. I don't care about missing free throws, 70%. He makes his free throws. Yep. This guy is an all-time. You guys, we did the list with the point guards. You know, Paul here and this guy there and where is kid and how could you put Kuzi? I'll come back in 12 years. I'll be finished, but he'll still be flying, and I'll put Doncic in the top five, and he'll be deserved to be there. This guy is tremendous, and his upside is going to be higher at the end of the day than Curry is.
Doug, you won't finished. You're an immortal. Immortal. You never.
Thank you.
From the words of Molly Caron, immortal.
That means
something. Take it to the bank.
I mean something. All right, let's hear from you, Stevie.
Go ahead, Miami Vice.
The ridiculousness that gets spewed out of your mouth is just, it's amazing, I must confess.
What are you complaining about?
Let me tell you this. Steph Curry, this season, has averaged 25-6-5.
Right.
On 43.7% shooting.
Right.
And 38% from three-point range.
Right.
And that's a bad year. That's a bad year. This man is the greatest shooter God ever created. That would include Larry Bird. Larry Bird couldn't shoot like this kid. Larry Bird. Okay? So let's be very, very clear who we're talking about here. I'm not going to deny the greatness of Luka Doncic and what he could potentially be, the greatness that we're witnessing from him. I'm not throwing any shade on him. But didn't you just talk about a different subject just a little less than an hour ago? Wasn't it you who said, quote, could you at least get one ring? Wasn't that you? I think that was Mad Dog Russo. I think I was sitting on the air listening to Mad Dog Russo, and he specifically said, could you give me one ring first? Could you give me one ring? Steph Curry has three. Three. Steph Curry's going to 5 NBA championships in a row. 5 NBA finals in a row. Steph Curry, without question, right now, would be a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. And when we go, are you ready for this? Put Doggy back up on the screen. I want to see his face when I say this. Put him back up there.
I'm here.
Pete Maravich, Dale Ellis, right, you know, Ricky Pierce, Larry Bird, Andrew Toney. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Allen Houston to a lesser degree. Ray Allen, Reggie Miller. I mean, the list goes on and on. Nobody is a better shooter than Steph Curry. Ever. And you're telling me that Luka Doncic, who, by the way, right, is literally two weeks removed from winning his first playoff series. Right. And Mad Dog Russo is up here bloviating with all of these superlatives and these histrionics and this hyperbole about Luka Doncic. I'm not saying you're wrong about his talent. I'm not saying you're wrong about his greatness. But to just sit up there in one breath 45 minutes ago, talking about a guy, could you give me one ring? One ring. And Steph Curry's got three. And by the way, what about the system? What about the fact that Rick Carlisle was once coaching Dallas, and he said, quote, to me, I woke up and I said, what the hell am I doing? Give him the ball. Let him run the offense. So you got Luka literally running the offense, holding the ball in his hands, a la LeBron James, and deciding and dictating pace, when he's going to pass the ball, who he's going to pass the ball to, etc. Steph Curry running all over the place, moving without the basketball, and firing from everywhere. What are you talking about, Doug?
I'm going to give you two things. We'll get the bird in a minute. How did Steph do last year when Thompson wasn't on the team? Did they get out of the first round? They didn't even get out of the play-in game.
They lost to Memphis.
All right. If I asked you right now, if you were the Golden State GM, I'll give you Dinwiddie, you give me Thompson. You think he'd make the trade? He would not. Doncic has absolutely nobody around him. Even Porzingis was a bust. He's got nobody there. Those are role players. Curry has a Hall of Famer in Thompson, a budding superstar in Poole, and Green, who does a little bit of everything. And Green, you know, I wouldn't necessarily vote for him. Hall of Famer, too. So from that standpoint, you are talking about two Hall of Famers that he is playing with. You got a Hall of Famer on Doncic's team right now? And here it is. Doncic is in the conference final. And I'll tell you one other thing. What, did you not see the game on Sunday night? That is a team that won 64 games.
And
he
lost.
Destroyed them. He embarrassed them. They got booed out of the arena.
Yes.
At halftime, they got booed. They never boo in Phoenix. Booed him out of the arena. They made you a point guard. He was a zero in the game. Booker was 3 for 18.
One game, yes.
This guy could have scored 70. He scored 27 at the half, and he's got nobody with him. And by the way, if the three-point shot was what it is today, back in the 80s, Burr would have scored 50 a game. Who? He won every three-point shooting contest he ever was involved in. He made every mid-ranger in the world. He was a 90% free throw shooter. Outside of one jumper when he was bad, he had a broken hand when he missed a game 4 jumper against Magic in 1985. I don't recall ever a big shot in a big game that he ever missed. Don't compare anybody offensively. Bird is one of the greatest scorers in the history of the sport.
Larry Bird is one of the greatest players to ever grace this earth. I love Larry Bird's game. And he was Mr. Clutch. And he walked into a three-point shooting contest and said, who's coming in second place?
Okay.
That's what he said. Because it was always said, we know how great Larry Bird is. I'm not taking anything away from Larry Bird.
Time out.
With all of that being said, who is the greatest shooter ever? Who is that? Who is universally recognized as the greatest shooter the game has ever been blessed with?
We got to get into commercial break.
Sam Jones.
It's Steph Curry.
Sam Jones.
A new hand gesture just came in, and that'd be this bag, right? Poor Stevie. That was a tough one for Stevie.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Kevin Durant and the Nets were swept the first round of the playoffs, and his time in Brooklyn has been less than stellar. Much of it not his fault, though. The two-time champs rep has taken a hit, and now Shaquille O'Neal is joining in on the jokes, posting a fan tweet on his Instagram story, which sarcastically listed Kevin Durant's accomplishments since he left Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors in 2019. 1 through 3, blank, the end. Stephen A.
Yes.
Do you think KD should regret leaving Steph and the Warriors?
Yes. And I believe that because of the selection he has made. It's not that he left Golden State. It's what he left Golden State for. I believe from a business perspective, no matter how much his brand may be worth, it is nothing compared to what it would have been worth if he were a New York Knick. I think the level of support that he would have had with that brand would have at least doubled, potentially tripled, the value of the KD brand. That's number one. But the biggest thing, and I've said this before, Doggy, and I don't know if you've heard me say this, so I'll say this with you on the air. I got a lot of love and respect for Kevin Durant. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years, and I respect the hell out of him. And we all know how I feel about Mama Durant. And he's a two-time champion, the two-time NBA Finals MVP, and one of the greatest players that has ever graced this game. And people get on him about his sensitivity because he'll clap back at people on Twitter and all of that other stuff. Well, I see that in reverse. Although I wouldn't advise him to comment about everything everybody says, I love the fact that he is the one, Dougie, that will respond to you rather than sending a hanger on or somebody else to do it for him. If he has an issue with you, he's man enough to address it with you. And I respect the hell out of him for that. And I'm very, very fond of him. Having said all of that, there is no way around it. If the Golden State Warriors advance to the, not happening already, Doggy. If the Golden State Warriors advance to the finals, I have been on a record, Doggy, saying, unfortunately and totally unfair to him, people will remember him more as being the dude who left Steph Curry for Kyrie Irving than they'll remember the championships. Because that's how idiotic that move appears to be as of right now, because of how unreliable Kyrie Irving has been. Kyrie Irving taking time off. Kyrie Irving getting injured. Kyrie Irving taking his positions politically and otherwise, being distracted from the game of basketball. Kyrie Irving, the vaccine mandate, and 98% of the league, 99% of the league gets vaccinated. But Kyrie's gonna hold firm. Yeah, all of that's fine. Individually speaking, perfectly his right, but it left Kevin Durant hanging because Kevin Durant was the one left holding the bag, having to hold down the Brooklyn franchise on his back, knowing that he would need that help. That's a decision KD made because KD insisted to the Brooklyn Nets, I wanted to be here with Kyrie Irving. That's why the Brooklyn Nets took Kyrie Irving to begin with, because they knew they couldn't get KD without Kyrie. So the fact that that decision was made, that's why there should be regret leaving Golden State. You had a structured environment where all you had to do was ball, which is all he wants to do during the basketball season. He just wants to ball. He don't want no drama. He don't want no nonsense. All he wants to do is ball. And you were able to do that in Golden State. Everything evolved around basketball. Here in Brooklyn, because of who his teammate is and who his road dog is, his buddy, the fact is, it's far more than that, and it's a distraction, and as a result, he has paid for it. He's been in Brooklyn. They've got one playoff series win on their resume. Golden State may be going back to the finals.
Yeah, but obviously a lot of this season was not, none of the season was Kevin Durant's fault in terms of on the court.
It's right? Not his fault.
So, no, of course. I just want to make that clear. But Mad Dog, I want to ask you this. Do you have an issue with Shaq making that comment or sharing that comment?
Absolutely. I mean, and Stephen A is 100% right. I mean, Durant wouldn't know me as far as he can throw me, but yeah. I love Durant. I'm with him 1,000%. He made a terrible mistake joining with Irving. We all know that. Shaq, on and out, Shaq, be fair, all right? He came to the Nets with an Achilles tear. So he didn't play at all in that first year. Then he had to deal with all the COVID nonsense, which was a disaster. He had contact testing. He missed a lot of games. And then last year, Harden couldn't move. Irving hurt his ankle. And all he did against Milwaukee was average 35 a game. And they gave me the stats. I don't remember exactly. But he had 47 in game 5 and 48 in game 7. And if his toe wasn't on the line, they would have beaten the Bucks and probably would have won the championship. So the idea this year, tough year. No argument. He had a bad series. Embarrassing. No argument. But, geez, I mean, to sit there and say what a disaster that he was, that he left the Warriors, that's not fair. That's completely not fair. Here's Shaq. Let's face it, Shaq. You know, he left Kobe. Let's not forget that. He left the great star to go to the Miami. Now, he won a championship in Miami as a spare part, but he left Kobe, and Shaq never could make big free throws. And Shaq, you know, was not going up against the great center when he played. I mean, I love Shaq. He's got great personality. We all love him. But let's be careful with Shaq that he's all of a sudden the great Aristotle and the greatest player in the history of the NBA, because he isn't. But, and that's unfair to Kobe. And he made a good point about Durant. Now, the difference, the mistake that Stevie A made, and amongst a few of them, is that the going to the finals is not enough for Curry. Curry's got to win a championship. Okay, the idea that he goes to the finals and loses to Boston or Miami, well, he showed everybody that he can win without Durant. No, he hasn't. And again, that first championship that he won, He's lucky he won it because Cleveland was terribly injured.
Right.
No Irving, no Love. He would have lost if those two played. Mm-hmm. He lost to Irving with a 3-1 lead in the second title. And then he got Durant. They won two titles. So it's not like Curry's won 8 championships without Durant. He's won one shakily, and he hasn't won another one since. So let's take it easy about how Curry has done this without Durant, and Durant's done nothing without Curry. If Durant had anybody playing with him last year, they would have beaten Milwaukee. And if his feet were not too big, he would have beaten them in Game 7. The thing where the foot with the toe was on the line. And that's just a millimeter crying out loud. So be fair. Shaq, be fair. You be fair.
Well, let me say this to you. First of all, I'm always fair. Let's get that out of the way. I'm Mr. Fair. I mean, I'm Mr. Fair right there. That's who I am. That's number one. Number two, you know what, Dougie? I mean, I know you're a little bit older than me, but I feel like right now is one of them arguments that I used to have with my dad. God rest his soul. You know, diehard Yankee fan and all of this other stuff. And no matter what position he took, I had to educate him sometimes, even though he knew his history and he knew the facts. But it was his perspective on the facts that I challenged. And see, that's the thing about going up against Mad Dog Russo. So many people will try to come at you like you don't know the facts. See, they don't know the secret that I know. Oh, you know what the hell you're talking about. You've got your facts in order. The problem is your perspective is a bit skewed. So let me educate you on some things, okay? Number one, when we talk about Steph Curry, let's understand something here, okay? I never said that getting to the finals was enough and that's all he had to do. The comparison to contextualize my argument is that by going to the finals and us talking about him in the finals, but we ain't talking about Kevin Durant. We were going to look at Kevin Durant and said, you left him for Kyrie. That's the point that I was making, because you left a structured environment with a guy that clearly loves the game and he's all about playing basketball just like you, Kevin Durant, and you were about going someplace on your own but choosing Kyrie Irving as a compadre as opposed to Steph Curry. Now, as a basketball player, Kyrie Irving is sensational. As far as I'm concerned, he's on that Steph Curry level. The brother's spectacular. And Kyrie Irving is a Hall of Fame talent. But in terms of the drama that comes along with them, considering the fact that Kevin Durant is against drama, he don't want no parts of that interfering with a basketball season and a basketball team. It seemed foolhardy for him to make that selection. That's all I was saying about the Steph Curry thing going to the finals in terms or Kevin Durant. That's number one. Number two, let me educate you about something you were factually incorrect about.
Which is?
Shaquille O'Neal did not leave Los Angeles and end up in Miami. He was forced out. Took the bus, made a decision, and had tipped Kobe Bryant. We know. I'm giving you facts. God rest his soul.
Pick one guy over the other.
Dr. Bus made the decision because Shaq was looking at that time. At that time, $100 million contracts wasn't going out of style. It was not that easy to come by the way that it is today. Shaq wanted. He was looking for a longer term commitment, and Kobe Bryant wasn't as interested anymore. So Kobe Bryant made that clear to Dr. Buss, and Dr. Buss made the call. I'm gonna have my faith in Kobe Bryant moving forward into the future at the ex of Shaquille O'Neal. And that's why Shaquille O'Neal was traded to Miami. And when Shaquille O'Neal was traded to Miami, there was a whole bunch of hate in Kobe Bryant's direction, because how could you get rid of the big Aristotle? What the hell is going on? It wasn't Shaq's choice. It was Kobe Bryant who made that call, and Dr. Buss supported him. That is not walking door and departing for South Beach. That's being forced out the door, landing on your feet, and winning a championship anyway. That's what happened.
We're up against it. Work with me here. Let me get in a break, and if you need to finish anything after that, we can.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tiger Woods, y'all, played his second nine-hole practice round at Southern Hills Country Club on Monday after playing the front nine on Sunday. The golf legend is preparing to try to win his fifth PGA Championship this week and says his surgically repaired right leg is stronger than it was at the Masters 5 weeks ago when he struggled to climb the sloping hills of Augusta National Golf Club. Mad Dog, I'll ask you this. Do you believe that Tiger can contend?
Absolutely do. He's won here before, 2007. The course is not as hilly as it was in Augusta. Everybody says his swing looks great. He's got a major championship under his belt based on the fact that he made the cut in Augusta.
Yeah.
Shot a 1 under par 71 on his first day. And I don't know if he's going to win, but would I be surprised if on Sunday afternoon, back nine, he's in the periphery with a chance? Absolutely not. He made the cut at Augusta. He's got a chance here in the PGA. That would be my take on that.
All right. Stephen. Oh, go ahead, Stephen A.
It ain't my take. I don't believe.
You don't believe
I just
it.
Want to sit. I don't believe it. I just,
why not?
I would tell you this because I think that he was struggling before he got injured in the car accident. And I think that's something to take into consideration. I understand he had his moment at the Masters. He's the great Tiger Woods. He's the greatest ever. I love and respect the hell out of him, wishing him nothing but the best. I'm just not a believer in him being able to sustain physically over a 4-day period in any tournament. I'm just of that mindset. Okay. I don't believe that in him right now. That's my issue. If it's 1 day or even 2 days, I give it to him. But those 4-day periods, I'm not a believer.
Stephen A., let me come to you. I know you forgot about all of us here in New York, but I want you to know the Yanks are back, baby.
Oh,
Aaron Judge homered twice as New York just keeps on rolling. Those Bronx Bombers are first in the AL East in 27-9. They have the best record, Mad Dog, in MLB. You might remember, Doggy, you weren't too high on those Yanks a few weeks ago, buddy. Listen up.
Here's what I'm going to say about the Mets. I lived here in the mid-80s when they had Carter, Hernandez, Gooden, and Strawberry, when they owned New York. The New York Mets again, they are. You know what they're going to do? They're going to take over New York City in 2022.
What?
You heard me.
Have you lost your mind?
Absolutely not.
I like to refer to this doggy as keeping receipts. Do you still believe,
yes,
Christopher Mad Dog Russo, that the New York Mets are taking over New York?
They're a sexy team. They're a fun team. They're a blue-collar team. Everybody loves the manager. They have DeGrom is not even on the team yet. They're 23-13. Yankees are hot. They're beating the Orioles. They're beating the Guardians. They're beating the Kansas City. Let's take it easy. The Mets are still, right now, based on their record, they are still at the end of the day in October with their starting pitching. They're still going to be the team that most of New York City will be talking
about. You can't even say that with a straight face.
I am not giving in.
Who says they're a sexy team?
Oh, they're fun. They got a goofiness.
Oh, here we go. They're a sexy, fun
team.
Steven,
they're not IBM. They're a fun team.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead.
Your position is laughable. The fair weather stepchild is going to take over the Big Apple. I mean, talk about a Cinderella story. What are you going to do? Get them glass slippers and let them clack their feet? I mean, spare me. I mean, please. I don't want to hear that nonsense. I mean, these are the New York Yankees, okay? See, the Yankees walk into the season with expectations. We understand what this is about. I got my boy Jeff Brown. He watching on television right now, Molly
Q.
He's watching. You understand? Say, gotta say, every time you bring up something about the Mets, he used the excuse. They point to the right leg, the Tejada injury. Him and my godson, Nicholas, all right? Nicholas Brown, that's his damn name. Brilliant
They're
young
Jets
man.
Fans
I love
too.
Him so much, but damn
so
it. He's been contaminated. My godchildren have been contaminated. Him
they
and
have.
Nicole walking around with this. Talk about it's a different kind of orange on their uniforms. I mean, the whole Brown family, the way my boy has contaminated his family is just disgusting to watch. I can't believe it. I mean, perennial second places and lower than that. And then you, Doggy, come on national television and laugh, a laughable statement. Everybody loves Buck Showalter. Well, duh, why wouldn't you love him? Let's go down and list the managers who preceded him. Who the hell was Collins? What about Manuel? What about Callaway? Rojas, all right? And now Buck Showalter. You think you'd love love. Of course you'll love Buck Showalter. If that's your backdrop, who the hell wouldn't like those guys? But the Yankees, 27-9, baby. First place, baby. Aaron Judge playing for a new contract. Smacking home runs like it's going out of style. He's got 14 already. Giancarlo Stanton, look at what he's doing, okay? Rizzo, he's showing up to the place. Let me tell you something right now. And by the way, they ain't worried about LeGrom. Is the elbow all right? Is he okay? Are you sure? Are you sure? I mean, Scherzer, he's supposed to be that dude. I love Scherzer, okay? But is he going to be that dude? We're about to find out. In other words, I don't give a damn what the Mets do. I'm happy that they went out there in first place and they're going to win the National League. But when you're talking about them going up against those Yankees, baby, it's a different animal, okay? The Yankees, that's New York City, baby. The Yankees, the most storied franchise in sports annals. The Yankees, know your history.
I'm talking.
He'll appreciate this. He'll appreciate this. I'm going back to the days of Goose Gossage, Ron Guidry, Chris Chambliss, Greg Nettles, Mickey Rivers, Willie Randolph, and I'm going back that far with Reggie Jackson. I'm going back that far with Billy Martin. I don't have to go present. I can go historically too. Don't you watch your mouth about my New York Yankees. It's a Yankees town, baby. It's a Yankees town. Don't you ever forget that. Ever.
Yankees, and it's New York football Giants. I got to go to break. What?
Reggie's birthday today.
Oh.
Reggie Jackson.
Way to tie that all together.
How about that?
I told you.
Yes, sir.
You're an immortal.
You
all
are
right.
The best.
Rojas.
I see you next
Rojas.
Week.
Please.
See, that was funny.
Of course they love Buck Showalter.
Oh, yeah. You're leaving right
they
now.
Love Buck
you got other shows to do.
How's Robinson Cano doing?
Funny.
How's Robinson Cano doing?
It's good to see you.
How's Robinson Cano doing?
Stop talking. He has to go. He has other shows
please.
To do.
Mad
Dog.
You later.
Mad Dog, you're the best. I'll see you next Wednesday.
I'll see you.
There we go. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Esteban, you ready for tonight?
Of course.
Your Warriors, your pick to win it all. What do you think? Are they getting game one?
Yes, they are. I believe they'll win game one. I think that Dallas is going to make this an interesting series. I got to respect Dallas. I'm not sleeping on them anymore. Luka's that dude in the supporting cast and the coaching of Jason Kidd. I can't rave about him enough. But I think the Warriors are the superior team, and they will show it in this series. They're going to the finals.
Okay, here's the real question. Where are you going to be watching this game on South Beach?
I have not made that decision yet, but I will say I have options.
I think you should do it somewhere outside and possibly have an adult beverage in your hand. Goodbye.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.